The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
And then I was telling the other guys, I go, well, wait a minute. How does that apply to this passage? That's if the gospel's being preached. These guys aren't really even preaching the gospel. They're not preaching. They're preaching against sin. They're preaching against things, but they never really bring up the gospel, Jesus Christ. So they're not even preaching the gospel. So I don't even think this applies. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. Make sure it's Christ that we're preaching. We don't know what the motives are for some people.
Hello and welcome to Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. Larry is an evangelist who has been sharing his faith in Jesus for over 30 years. As a street preacher, he's traveled the entire continental U.S., preaching the gospel in over 200 cities. Taking from his experience and the Word of God, Larry hopes to encourage you in sharing your faith. And now, here's your host, Larry Dubois.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to a brand new show. This is episode 61 in my ongoing series of evangelistic teachings and sharing the faith radio program that I've been doing now for some year and a half, almost 2 years. And during that time, we've had some instrumental changes. We've had times where I haven't been producing the shows. We've had some reruns and different things. Now, this show here, I have, by the time I get it out, I haven't recorded a new one since, I think, several months. I can't remember. I'd have to even look. But the title of this show is Make Sure It's Christ You Preach. And where am I getting this from? Well, our text is going to be in Philippians chapter 1. Now, before we get started, I should mention also, just to give you some brief updates, I've been going through some different surgeries and things, so I've had some health issues. That's been one of the things. I've had some technical difficulties has caused my delay in getting some of these programs out. But also, I'm trying a new thing here, and this episode is going to be a half-hour show instead of an hour. One of the things that we had changes was I was doing an hour show once a week. And of course, on First Love Radio, that meant that after the first few days, that same program was on until the next week. It was already a rerun well into, you know, after the first couple of days. If someone hadn't heard it, it would be new to them. But if someone had, there wouldn't be a new one posted till the following week. And same with my website. Then I decided to go to doing an hour show, maybe putting one up once a month or so. Well, now I'm back to maybe putting them up more often, but I'm going to try and do one a half hour and see what that does. We'll do a half hour show. Also, half hour formats seem to be the norm for other normal radio programs. And if I ever want my show to be on another station, I'm going to have to produce it in a half hour format as well. So this is some of the reasons. But anyway, without boring you those details anymore, let's go right to our text in Philippians chapter 1. And this is a famous passage. Paul, who was locked up, he was in chains, as he called it, incarcerated. And he was incarcerated for preaching the gospel. Now, our text is going to be verses 12 and following down through 18. And let's go ahead and read the text. Verse 12, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from even envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." So this is something that is very peculiar in some ways. I could see why someone that was on the outside, that when Paul was arrested for preaching the gospel, and then to hear that he hadn't lost his faith, to hear that he was okay physically, to hear that he was still being bold witness inside the prison walls, that could give me boldness to preach. you know, someone else is arrested and, hey, they're not doing so bad, I'm that more apt to continue to preaching and not be fearful, but to be bold in my witness. I could definitely see that. Some of these things are very difficult to understand, though. For example, when he says in verse 16 there, some are preaching to add affliction to his chains. So there were some people were preaching so that it would somehow bug you, to aggravate you, to, you know, cause you upset. I couldn't imagine that if someone was locked up, but that I'm going to go preach, and that's just to get Paul all riled up because adding affliction to his chains because he knows he can't be out here. Can you imagine having a motive like that? I just don't even understand that part. But one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up before we go through the verse by verse here is that I had drawn up one time the bad motives. You know, we want to, as believers, as preachers of the gospel, we want to examine our hearts. We want to pray before God. And as much as possible, we want to have pure motives. We want to have pure motives so that we get proper rewards, and it just makes sense to want to have pure motives. Now, under the fact that we are still under the corrupted nature to a degree, that our motives can still be tainted with sin, that we're not 100% perfectly got the best motives all the time. And so we stand guard against that. And through our walk with the Lord, we want to continue to renew our relationship with Him on a daily basis so that we do have a purity of heart in anything that we do, not just preaching the gospel, but in just anything in life. We don't want to have bad motives. And the Holy Spirit is faithful, if we're listening, to show us when we fall short of that. But I had made a list of bad motives out of the Philippians text, and they are doing it from envy, from strife, from selfish ambition, not sincere, and in pretense. And of course, I compared that with another text in 1 Thessalonians 2. The negative ways of preaching were in error, uncleanness, deceit, pleasing men, flattering words, cloak for covetousness, seeking glory from men, and making demands. And so these are some of the negative things there. Well, going back to Philippians, one of the things that made me want to do this in part of a show was that a while back, you may have heard me talk over the different shows on the style of street preaching that is out there. There is what we call the shock and awe. A lot of these people, in fact, a couple of shows ago, I did a show on Pelagianism. A lot of the street preachers out there have a worldview, or they have a doctrinal difference, and they are Pelagianists, or at least partial Pelagianists, which denies the original sin of Adam. And there's a whole lot of other ramifications. And be sure to listen to that show if you haven't already, about Pelagianism and how it affects evangelism. A lot of the street preachers out there are Pelagianists, and what happens is that they preach, well, they ended up calling people names, and they give, you know, kind of a bad reputation for the gospel. They're very harsh and everything. Well, we don't agree with the groups that do that. And there was one particular group in Portland that was that kind of a style. They would come on with harsh signs and a militant style, kind of in your face, and they would be preaching against sin and so on and so forth, and all the evils of people of Portland. But they were very harsh. And one of the fellows made a comment that, well, at least the gospel is being preached. And then he referred to this verse or this passage. And then I was telling the other guys, I go, well, wait a minute. How does that apply to this passage? That's if the gospel is being preached. These guys aren't really even preaching the gospel. They're not preaching. They're preaching against sin. They're preaching against things, but they never really bring up the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they're not even preaching the gospel. So I don't even think this applies. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. Make sure it's Christ that we're preaching. We don't know what the motives are for some people. I mean, we can speculate. We don't want to get in a position where we're judging others as well. We're judging them as they judge other people. But we want to make sure that it's the gospel that's being preached as far as the motives. Now, I thought of this. Let's just say, and I've had this on occasion, somebody didn't like the way that I was preaching out there. They didn't like the method, or they didn't like the way I was doing it. So then you would say to them maybe, okay, well, you know, if you can do better, then you should do it. You should try your hand at it. Let's just say someone did see preaching going on and they thought, you know what, I could do better, and they're lousy at this, and for that motive, I'm going to preach the gospel. Let's just say they go out and they do preach the true gospel of Christ, but their motive is that they want to just show you how it's done. Maybe there's pride there. Maybe, you know, maybe it's not the purest motive. Well, then I would say I could care less about their motive. If the true gospel is being preached, I would then say, yes, I could say like Paul, I rejoice that the gospel is being preached. If it is in pretense, that might be one that's in pretense. I don't know. But that's what the point is. Make sure it's Christ that is being preached. Well, Paul says here in verse 12 that it had happened to turn out further for the gospel, that his chains. Another way that God has magnified the ministry of Paul and also to magnify Jesus Christ was what man thinks is going to silence him. So they lock Paul up thinking that's the end of that, and then it actually turns out for the furtherment of the gospel. Because when he was arrested, it apparently got other guys inspired to go out and preach. And for whatever reason, some with good motives. And so he was excited that it turned out for the furtherment of the gospel. We got more preachers out there. Verse 13, he says, it's become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. This was one of the things too. Remember when he told Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or me, his prisoner. You got to remember now, a lot of times when Paul was arrested, he was arrested on trumped up charges. He was arrested for different things. They were truly because he was preaching the gospel, but they could have had a stigma. They could have said, look, I don't want to identify with Paul. He got arrested. You know, if we get arrested for preaching Christ today here in America, which would be rare, but they people would probably think, well, he must have done something. I don't want to be associated with that. So there was being ashamed of that. The palace guard, it was evidence that Paul wasn't arrested for any real charge or real crime. Remember, the leaders also knew this. They told each other, they said, look, this man hasn't done anything worthy of prison or death. It's about the religion. It was evident that Paul was arrested. His chains were in Christ, truly arrested for Christ. And in verse 14, most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident of my chains, much more bold to speak without fear. So that's just it. They saw that, hey, Paul did it, I can do it, and that would be a great encouragement for sure. But then he says this, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some for goodwill. Well, definitely we want to preach Christ from goodwill. We want to be out there preaching Christ, sharing the kingdom in goodwill. And goodwill is because we have a heart for God. He told us to do it. But even if he didn't say to do it, we still want to tell people because the change that God has done for us, the love that we have received from Christ, and the exuberance we have and the thankfulness we have for our salvation motivates us to preach Christ from goodwill. That is an excellent motive, and that's our aim. Okay, he says, the former preach Christ from selfish ambition. Well, there's a lot of selfish ambition out there. Sometimes we have to check our motives. Do we want to be known to be a bold preacher? I remember some of the guys out there that we get in groups, and next thing you know, it was like, who can preach louder than the next guy? Who has the best, loudest voice without the amp? Who can preach longer? Who can preach louder? Who can be more bold? Who can actually, and that's some of this gets into these contests where unwittingly you're in competition with these other preachers to say more harsh things, perhaps, or more outrageous things. And somehow we equate our boldness with how outrageous the statements we make. And so I would say those are selfish ambitions. It's pride, the pride of life. We don't want to let the pride of life come in and squelch us to where now we're doing it out of pride. I think of that with my own web pages. I do things that I can do certain things in building a web page so that it comes up high on the search engines. Well, then I have to ask myself, why is it important that my comes in, they punch in certain terms that my website comes out before someone else's? Because I want people to see me. I want to wave a flag. Here I am, the great evangelist, Larry Du Bois. I want you to come to my webpage. And so I could be bad motives, you see. And so I'm thinking to myself, what would be a good motive? Why do I need all these people to come to my site? Well, if you have a gift of God and you want to share that and encourage people in their faith or to get unbelievers saved, if that's the motive, then by all means, the more people that come to the site, the better. So if that's the motive, then that could be a good motive. So we have to check ourselves, you see. And of course, adding affliction to his chains, again, I don't get that, how they would even do that. Verse 17, but the latter out of love. So we want to preach Christ out of love, knowing that the point for the defense of the gospel, Paul's down. Maybe it's time for someone else to step up. Maybe if someone like myself, I'm getting older, I'm injured, I can't get out there every day like I was. Maybe somebody would say, hey, Larry can't go out there and preach like he used to. Maybe it's time for me to go out there and take his place. And that doing that out of love, love for the gospel and love for myself, knowing that, hey, if I can't get out there, at least you're out there and I can pray for you. That would be awesome. But then the conclusion is, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. And I will rejoice too, as long as it is Christ being preached.
Greetings in the name of Him who does all things well. This is Pastor Austin, the Vice President of First Love Ministries, and it is a joy to have you tuning in with us here at First Love Radio. You may not know some of our other ministries, so I would like to take a moment and share the ministry of First Love Missions with you. And yes, that's correct. We have an active and thriving foreign mission work. If you haven't already, please check out our website at missionsfirstlove.org. Again, that address is missionsfirstlove.org, where you will find our latest field updates and mission reports in the areas we operate in, such as the Philippines, Nigeria, Nepal, Kenya, and more. We are following the Lord's Great Commission to take the gospel towards the end of the world. We preach biblically sound messages and host overseas conferences. We conduct missionary radio and do live Q&A and disperse thousands of our quality books, booklets, and tracts from First Love Publications absolutely free to the pastors and churches fighting the good fight of faith with few resources in the third world. If you would like to explore ways how you might get involved, again, please visit our website at missionsfirstlove.org. On behalf of First Love Missions, we would like to thank you for listening to First Love Radio. Stay tuned and God bless.
Well, thank you for tuning in. If you're just joining us, this is Larry Du Bois, and this is Sharing Your Faith, an evangelistic radio program. We got coming up still, Report on the Streets, Evangelism Today, what's going on out there. Also, myself preaching the gospel, a short little excerpt from downtown Sacramento from several months ago. And then finally, our question for this week, it has to do with the graphic abortion sign. So please stay tuned for all that coming right up. I wanted to give maybe just a general update, a report of what's happening out there on the streets in evangelism. And I've mentioned this a couple of times. I don't want to be redundant. I have not been able to get out there as I once did, preaching the gospel on the streets of cities here in the Bay Area. Of course, I did all my traveling there for the last 3 years from 2015 to 2018. And because of health issues and a lot of things, I just can't get out there as much as I used to. And now, most recently, I can barely get out there. Well, I decided that I certainly can pray for the ministries that are still going out there. And so I am abreast of what's happening out there on the streets and different ministries that evangelists are still going out. Street preachers are still going out there. And I had actually a young man get a hold of me through my webpage. And he had read a couple of articles I'd written on some of the methodology I use and the preaching distinctives and that sort of thing, and wanted me to go with him. He's here locally now where I'm at. So we met for coffee, and it was real encouraging for me to know that a young man wants to take up the mantle, as it were, to go out and preach and, you know, and whatever I could have an input on him. So hopefully we're going to be getting together and I'll be able to go out and trusting the Holy Spirit. He is our main teacher. He is the one who gives us the calling and the gifts and gives us the unction to preach. From his own words, this young man said that, you know, as older guys, we have a lot of experience that we can pass down. And speaking of that, we still have SOS ministries in the Bay Area there going out on a weekly basis. It's a ministry I was involved in for many years, and they're going out preaching the gospel in the streets of San Francisco and Berkeley. My friend Jerry Benson in San Diego continually goes out. I hooked up with him at the first part of December in 2019, just about a month and a half ago, and joined him as myself and Jeff Barron, a couple of us, went out to what they call December nights and did some preaching. That's when my leg first started acting up on me, and I was unable to go to the second outreach of that. There was a two-night event, but we did go the first night and was able to preach the gospel and hand out tracts. At that event, we had a cross that lit up, and we held that as well. Jerry goes out several times a week. I admire him because he is a good example of the average person that can get out there, the average American citizen, that he has just as much stuff going on as anyone else, and he finds time to go out and witness.
Well, and we also have Brother G. Gerard, my home church, and also he is a First Love missionary as well. He's out there on the college campus of UC Berkeley doing Bible studies and preaching open air, and he's out there several times a week. You could lift him up in prayer if you would.
But that's what's happening on the streets. The gospel is still being preached. We would encourage you, my friends, if you're a young man out there that would be inclined to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, if God is tugging on your heart to do so, by all means, get a hold of somebody in your area if you can, or even on the internet, but get connected with people and pray, ask the Lord to provide people to go out with. Worst case scenario, you go out by yourself. If you are interested in that, be praying about it and step out in faith, and because we don't know how much time we got. And you're perhaps young now. Before you know it, you'll be old like me. And it goes fast. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Christ could come back. We could die. The people that we're trying to reach, their life is in the balance. They're one heartbeat away from eternity as well. So there's always reasons to go. There's an urgency in the message. So I would encourage you to go out, my friends, and do what you can. Until then, pray. Pray for those that are going out. Financially support some of these ministries as well. If that's what God puts on your heart, find a ministry that, check them out and see if they're doing the Lord's work, and you may want to support them financially. That's about it. So we have more coming up. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
One of the things that distinguishes the Christian faith, those who believe and put their trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, what distinguishes that different from the other world's religions is it is a grace-based theology. We are saved by God's grace, not any effort of man, not any works, religious or otherwise. And you'll find that in most of the world's religions, the ones that people know of, is some sort of system of works where you have to do something. You have to do something to better yourself so that God would approve of you or God would accept you. And of course, if you're in that system, you have no assurance if you'll ever make it to heaven, because you'll never know if you've done enough to satisfy God or to appease God. For those folks, to say that you know you're going to heaven when you die is a statement of arrogance. Because they're trusting in works, they would think that then I know I've done enough to be accepted by God. But when the believer in Jesus Christ says that we know that we will have eternal life or we are going to heaven when we die, it is not based on our efforts or on our works. It's based on the person of Jesus Christ. It's based on his work that he did on the cross and making an atonement for the soul. In the book of 1 John chapter 5, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. This was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God's inspired word to men, that we can have assurance that we have eternal life. It is imperative, it is important that we believe certain facts about Jesus Christ. For example, he says in John chapter 8, that unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And so it is imperative to believe that he is who he claimed to be, that he was sent from the Father into this world. God became a man, and as a man, he was able to live a holy life, something you and I cannot do. And then he laid down his life as a substitutionary death, giving up his life on the cross and paying the penalty of sin, and then, of course, rising from the dead because death could not hold him. Jesus said that the Son of Man did not come into the world to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It tells us that by grace we have been saved through faith. This not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works lest anyone could boast, but it is a gift, a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Tells us to repent, therefore, and be converted, and our sins would be blotted out, and we would receive refreshing from the Lord. It was Jesus who said that unless you are converted and become like little children, you cannot by any means enter the kingdom of heaven. A process where God does the work, where we go through a metamorphosis, a change, where as our repentance towards God, away from sin and towards God, and at some point in a miracle, God would come and he would give us eternal life. He would give us regeneration. It's called being born again or born from above. And to be born from above is a work that God does. And then we're changed. And so we take on a new nature. We take on a set of new desires. The person that has that experience will grow closer and closer to God, closer to Jesus.
Hello, thanks for tuning in to Sharing Your Faith. It's time for our question and answer period. Normally, we've had two questions on the shows in the past, but because of our shortened length of a half-hour program this week, we are going to have one question, and the question is, do you use graphic abortion signs, or what do you think in the use of those? Well, this coincides, of course, with what we called the Sanctity of Life Sunday, which was, I think, last Sunday by the time this broadcast comes out anyways, in January. And also, we have some marches, the big pro-life march in Washington, D.C., and we have one here locally in the Bay Area, and that's done in San Francisco. It is sort of a controversy amongst Christians about what type of signs you use when doing your pro-life outreach or protesting abortion, whatever it might be, whatever you want to call it. I've been associated with the ministries that have used these very graphic signs, and they are basically pictures of fetuses. They're pictures of body parts. They're very graphic. They're very disturbing images. A lot of Christians think that we shouldn't use those, that they're in bad taste somehow. I myself think that it's okay to use those. That's just my personal opinion. I don't have a problem with using them or being associated with people that are using them. A big share of my ministry is just preaching the gospel in all sorts of venues out there in the public. We have a man in our church, Timothy Oliver, who has taken the pro-life issue a little more serious than most, and he is very involved in it and knows a lot of people. I also know several ministries, and I know ministries, for the most part, they use those kinds of signs. I think it's okay. Well, I asked my friend Timothy, would you answer someone that objected? And he said, well, a picture is worth a thousand words. And I think sometimes people have to be shocked into reality, calling it different things than what it is, murdering of unborn children, change the terminology to make it more suitable for our psyche to handle it. We think of it as a medical procedure. We have all kinds of names that we give these procedures, medical names, instead of saying what it is. And I think these signs shock people back into reality of what it is, the murder and the slaughter of unborn children. So I think that they're great. And sometimes people need a little jolt of reality. So I think these signs are effective, and that's how I would answer that.
And this has been Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. If you would like to listen to a past broadcast or ask a question that would be aired on a future show, simply go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. And then we trust you'll join us again next time for Sharing Your Faith on First Love Radio, your Christian internet station.